Mr. Guy here just in the nick of time. What does that make us?
Big damn heroes, sir.
Ain't we just?
When a man's partner's killed, he's supposed to do something about it. It doesn't make any difference what you thought of him. He was your partner, and you're supposed to do something about it.
I killed Yvette. I hated her so much. Flames on the side of my face, heaving breaths.
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM, a film and TV radio show where a handful of film enthusiasts shoot the breeze about all things film and television. I'm Marcus E. Acko, and my favorite movie book adaptation is Out of Sight.
I'm Laura Sampson, and my favourite movie, well, actually, it's not a movie, book adaptation is American Gods, actually, at the moment.
That's cheating. No. We said movie. We didn't say TV. We said film.
Fine.
Yeah, fine.
Well,
we said film, so you do a film.
The author would turn in his grave at me saying this, but it's got to be The Neverending Story, book by Michael Ender, and the adaptation by Wolfgang Petersen.
I believe so. I need to check that again. But it's great that Neverending Story has made its first appearance in this season.
Well, I think I have to mention it every single week because it is my all-time favorite.
Yeah, if you didn't mention it, I'd be disappointed. In the studio with us, please tell us your names and your favorite movie book adaptation.
I'm Nick Stead. I don't know about a movie to book adaptation.
Nah, sorry. I was playing. I'm just messing with Laura. If it's a TV, feel free to go with TV.
I can do book to movie. Well, that'd
yeah,
be
go
Lord
for it. Yeah,
Rings.
Go for it. Lord of the Rings. Okay, that's good. That's exactly what we're talking about. And please tell us your name and your favourite adaptation.
James Hammond, best-selling author. And my favourite, probably, script to movie was... Niagara Falls.
That's the Marilyn Monroe movie, right?
No, I love that one.
That's it's very good. It's very good.
And can I just say one thing?
Go for it.
It's the longest walk in cinema history.
Okay.
And she's you can go on. She won. What's it called? Do you know Guinness Book of Records?
Yes.
Walk.
Okay.
So
what in movie history?
In movie history.
Wow, okay. I did not know that. Okay, we're going to make a note down and check that out just to verify it, because I'm pretty sure I've seen some movies where people have done some long walks. I'm just checking, just to be sure.
Go for it. I know my Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, okay. So you know your Marilyn Monroe history, so we'll talk about that later on. Yes, Nick, you were saying Lord of the Rings. Okay, and here's a question I want to throw to you, right? As you're a Lord of the Rings fan, are you a completist Lord of the Rings fan? So every single, because you had the trilogy, the original trilogy, which is the Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings, etc. Yeah. And then there's the Hobbit movies, the three that came out. What are your feelings about the Hobbit movies?
I wasn't as keen on the Hobbit movies as I was Lord of the Rings.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
I can't remember the Hobbit book as well, though, because I think I read that once when I was a kid, whereas Lord of the Rings I reread like a few times.
Understood. Okay, fair enough. I went with Out of Sight because it's Elmore Leonard book.
High five to that.
Okay.
For the first time I watched Out of Sight the other day.
Out of Sight. What did you think of Out of Sight?
Do you know what? I thought it was a brilliant film.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I actually thought the way they sold it. They didn't oversell what they were trying to get across, but they did it so perfectly.
Absolutely.
And I think it was brilliant.
For me, it's my favourite George Clooney and my favourite Jennifer Lopez movie of all time anyway. So
it was amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was great. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
In the studio with us, we have Bryn Kurt James Hammond, the author of A Case for Murder. There are three books in the series so far. We'll talk about that later on in the show. We also have Nick Stead, who's also an author of the complete History of the Howling. So you horror fans out there, Stuart Ryder, I'm talking to you directly. You should know this book. Go and get this book. It's about the complete history of the Howling. We'll also talk to you more about that. Also coming up on the show, we'll talk top box office, UK box office top five movies for this week. We'll have our top five favorite film TV discussion. This week, the topic is murder mysteries, obviously following on from A Case for Murder. And we'll also have maybe Netflix and Amazon recommendations if we can get to it later on. But before that, let's do some film and TV news. Okay, so here's the thing that's dominating the news at the moment. We've got Black Panther that is coming out soon. Now, if you've been listening to this show, you know how much we, how we feel about the movie. We adore the movie. We haven't even seen it yet, but the cast, the director, Ryan Coogler is directing it. It's got Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther, etc. Now, the previews have been coming out. Some people have seen it. Critics have been raving about it. However, there's been a backlash recently. About it. It's come in two waves. One has basically been a group that's claiming to be fans of DC movies and saying that they're going to sabotage Disney for the kind of movies they're coming out with, and they're going to start by giving negative reviews of Black Panther. Now,
and this really matters on the Rotten Tomatoes website, which has become hugely powerful in the, you know, in the last few years.
Yes, Rotten Tomatoes. For those of you who don't know about Rotten Tomatoes, it's an online critic aggregator website that basically collects reviews from various critics as well as audience members, and it does an aggregator score of it. If you get above 60%, then your film is considered fresh. If you get below 60%, it's considered rotten. Exactly. Now, the aim of a lot of movies these days is to try, ones that obviously go for critical acclaim, are trying to get that perfect score, 100%. Get Out got that for quite a while. I think Lady Bird got it as well, most recently. And Black Panther had it for a couple of weeks.
The golden 100%.
Yes.
Before the film came out, Mike.
Yes, before the film came out. And a couple of days ago, it went down by 1% because of one critic.
One critic who, in a generally good review, said one negative thing.
But that's the it's not about the review itself. It's about the score that that critic gives, and that then has an effect. So for it to be a positive review, the critic has to give it above to give it 4 out of 5 stars. So if you give the average of four out of five, then that goes as a good review. If
what
you give,
do you guys think of honestly, what do you think of like the recent movie that's been released?
Okay, which one?
Panther.
What? Oh, Black Panther. Okay, yeah. So that's the thing, because we haven't seen it yet. So we just know who's out, who's in it. We know that actually there's one person in particular. And if those of you who are out there,
he's got a huge.
He, by the way, is Nick. He's pointing to Nick.
Okay, sorry.
Not a problem. It's okay. We were going to Facebook Live this, but we didn't get the chance. Go for it.
The guy's such a really intense fan, and he said about today, he highlighted that
Black Panther, yes,
was not the first Marvel comic,
yep, book movie,
person,
yeah,
to go to the cinema, and I didn't know this.
Oh, okay.
And Blade,
yes,
Wesley Snipes,
yep,
was a Marvel comic,
okay,
character, and I didn't know that. I love Blade,
okay,
and he's the first black hero. Anti-hero,
sure.
He's been put, and this geezer that says that, you know, that he highlighted that the guy was exceptionally, he still comes from Marvel Comics.
Yes.
And he still kicks ass.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the thing.
Not the first.
No, just to sort of check you on that, I understand what you mean, that Blade was the first successful black comic actor.
Box office character.
Exactly. There was another one, Meteor Man, who came out. That came out in the early 90s. But I completely get what you mean.
I have no idea.
No, that's not a problem. That was actually going to be a question I was going to ask you. It leads us into the question I was going to ask you. But before I come to that, Nick, just throwing this to you. Are you a Marvel fan? Or you're a DC fan? Or are you neither? Because you're a horror fan, right?
Yeah, I'm not particularly into superheroes. Well, I mean, I don't dislike them, but sure. I never got massively into them as a kid. Like, I'm all about the Beastmen, the werewolves, okay. And things.
Okay, that's fair enough. So here's what I'm going to do. We're going to wrap up this topic really quickly, and then we'll come back to the two of you. So okay. We'll come back to you, Bryn. We'll talk about the question I wanted to ask you, and Nick will talk about horror movies in a second. The one point I wanted to raise about this, about the backlash for Black Panther, I'm not going to go down the racial route, but...
I really think that... And I'm going to be quite honest, that I think that I really do believe that it's a great thing to have an idol to look up to.
Absolutely.
But, however, Panther was not the first one. It was
absolutely. Yeah, you've got Blade. You've got Blade.
I
absolutely.
Love Blade.
Wesley Snipes, yes, you're absolutely right. He crushed the box office when he came out in the late 90s. He's very attractive. But here's the point I wanted to make about that. Right, I think there's something actually behind this one critic going and giving a rotten score, even though when his analysis was evaluated, it basically showed no merit, and it's more the fact that there's some notoriety to being the first person to say this is terrible when everyone else is saying it's great. There's one person stepping forward and saying, and here's the reason I wanted to sort of link it to yourselves, because both of you are critics, right? I mean, not critics, sorry, you're writers. You obviously face this in your careers, right, with your books that are coming out. How do you deal with critics who review your books and have an issue with it, or have an issue that you don't believe is justified? Nick, let's start with you.
You really have to develop a thick skin as like any creative person, I think, because you can't please everyone. There's always going to be someone who doesn't like what you do. You can't really like reply to a bad review because you end up making yourself look bad.
Sure.
Like I've seen it happen to other writers, and like even though they're not like really going off on one at the person who's left the bad review, they're just sort of like trying to put their own point of view across, I think, and say, this is why I did this, this is why I did that. The person always makes them look bad, so you just have to develop that thick skin and like let it wash over you and just move on.
That makes sense. Bryn, what about yourself? How have you dealt with negative... I'm not saying that you've got negative reviews of your book, I'm just asking, how do you tend to deal with negative criticism to your book?
Well, the only negative criticism is...
It's from Nick.
No, I've only met him he's only come on board with me to write.
Since October.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, no, the only negative criticism is that I'm part of the Illuminati.
Oh, okay.
I'm a robot, so I find it the most hilarious.
Oh, so you're that guy. Oh, fair enough. No. Okay, fair
Oh, my
enough.
God, you have not even YouTube, mate.
No.
How dare they.
I have to admit, I haven't YouTube yet. I have read an article, one of the, someone who had interviewed you on your book, A Case for Murder series.
Yes.
So just, we might as well, we can talk about Black Panther and a lot more later on. But I do want to talk about your book, so just give me 2 seconds. I just want to do this one quick plug. We will talk about Black Panther most likely next week when we'll try our best to see the movie, and then we can say whether that critic was valid. I'm not yet, but I've been waiting for this movie for at least 15 years of my life. I'm a huge Black Panther fan, so I have to admit there is some element of subjectivity to it when I see this guy make a criticism about the movie. And so I know you said develop a thick skin. I like to think I have a thick skin.
When you go to see the film, I would like to come and see it because I really want to see it.
Absolutely. We're going to set it up. It's going to be a big thing. You, me, Laura, Nick, all of us are going to go watch this movie. We'll watch it together and we'll see it. We'll come out and we'll go, meh, it was all right.
I don't know if there's anybody in the country right now that doesn't know that Black Panther opens next Tuesday
rather than
the normal Friday. So you've got before the weekend even starts.
Oh, Tuesday, we've got Meerkat movies.
There's 3.5 days to watch it. But I know I'm going to love it. But I wonder what you're going to think.
Who's going to think? Me?
You, Marcus, and you, our listeners. So if anyone goes to see Black Panther before we're on air next week, please let us know and let us know what you think.
I know in particular one person, one of our listeners, who has seen it. So Icky, send us a message to tell. She's biased as well, but I don't care. She's going to send us a message to tell us whether or not she liked that movie. And we'll see. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
And in the studio with us, we have two authors. One is Bryn Kurt James Hammond, author of A Case for Murder book series. And the other is Nick Stead, who is the author of The Complete History of The Howling. Let's talk about your books. You've written A Case for Murder. Now, it's a series of books which basically look at famous people who have died in mysterious circumstances. And there are three books in the series. You've got Anna Nicole Smith, which was the first one.
Yes.
Brittany Murphy, who's the second one. The one I'm reading, that's the book I'm reading at the moment. And
what did you think of Brittany Murphy?
I'd heard of some of the stories as to what happened with that.
Did you know that she was not legally married to the guy that she's allegedly married for?
What, Monjack?
Monjack. It's in the book. I've even got printed the... Have you got the book?
I've got the book. It's upstairs. I haven't finished it yet. I'm going through it, and it is unbelievable. It's like I didn't. For those of you who don't know the story, Brittany Murphy, she was an actress who was in great movies.
Hold on, did you know that she actually sang?
I'm loving this. Okay. I'm getting told to hold on. This is what you should be doing, Laura. You should be telling me to hold on, and then you can say something.
No, she did actually sing to a lot of R&B. Reggae singers.
Absolutely.
I did not know this. Yeah,
she was an all-round performer. She was a singer. She's in movies such as, I mean, she started out, she came to fame in Clueless in the 90s, and she was also in 8 Mile.
How different did she look in Clueless compared to when she looked...
As she went through. I mean, she was big in the 90s. She came through Clueless. She was in 8 Mile as well. She was in Happy Feet.
I say one thing? I'm going to be quite honest.
No,
with you.
Yeah, go for it.
I am still. I interviewed a guy that had an incident with Eminem.
Okay.
Which is on my website.
I read that part in the book. Well, actually, no. It was the friend of. Is that the friend of Eminem?
Right. Oh, but who? I knew I met Brittany Murphy twice.
You said so in the book, yes.
But recently I interviewed a rapper, which is, I don't know, he's on my website.
Okay. Is his name Curtis Jackson?
I have no idea.
You have no idea what the rapper's name. How did you interview him if you didn't know what his name was? How did you say
Deadly?
Hello.
Deadly. His name is Deadly.
His name is Deadly.
He's actually a rapper. He's a chilo rapper.
Okay, fair enough.
He had a number one album in the States.
Okay.
He hasn't really crossed over to the UK.
Okay.
And that sounds really terrible. I can't really remember who I interviewed 2 days ago.
Not a problem.
That's awful. No, I was only thinking about what I was having to do 2 seconds ago when I was trying to talk.
Okay.
Whatever. But the fact was, where was I?
You were talking about the fact that this rapper who knows Eminem and the interaction with Brittany Murphy.
Deadly said, well, not only DMX is jailbait.
Okay.
And he did say that DMX was jailbait.
Okay.
He was like, oh my God, DMX is so gay, it's unbelievable.
Okay.
So, and this is like, honestly, the guy that he interviewed, he met, and they're just so gay. It's unbelievable.
Sure. All right, fair enough. That was about DMX, but we were talking about Brittany Murphy, who was the subject of the book that you wrote.
All kinds of juicy things are coming out.
I will tell you anything.
For those who've heard of Brittany Murphy but have never read the book, please just let them know what the book focuses on and a general introduction to what it's about.
Absolutely. I was gonna give a quick summary, but Bryn, you're the one who wrote the story. Please tell us what makes the circumstances behind Brittany Murphy's death so suspect.
Okay, well, she was a dopey mare that started off as just like every other wannabe actress, and she's one of the most amazing, charismatic actresses that you'll ever meet, and the worst part about it was she's been taken advantage by her mum, And, well, there you go.
Okay, so and so effectively, after reading, well, reading halfway through your book, your two main suspects are her ex-husband. Well, you said technically ex-husband.
No, he's dead.
Oh, no, no, hold on, hold on. He died. That's what made this even more suspect, the fact that he died a few months after of similar circumstances. But also the prime suspect is her mum. That's who you're pretty much pointing towards.
That's the only prime suspect.
Well,
I will guarantee you, and I'm 100%, her mum said she was going to try and sue me.
Okay.
And I will say now, welcome for me. It's like I'm accused, I've said it in the book, mm-hmm. but I've worded it very particularly.
Yep.
Her mum has been putting certain stuff in Brittany Murphy's drinks mm-hmm. that she did it with Simon Monjack. You know, how many people to you, if they're that sick, would you allow them to lie in bed and continue to lose the whatever?
Yeah,
I don't want to really go into great detail. No, I understand. But it does in my book.
There is a real tense scene in the book where it's Monjack's mother who's relaying a story as the fact that she had found out that her son was ill and she was telling
and Sharon was telling the
Sharon being Brittany Murphy's mother. Yeah.
Yes, and she was doing the same as she did. And I will say Sharon Murphy is 100% a killer.
Okay.
And I will turn around, and that's true.
Okay, hey,
and I've said that, and I've already been accused of saying I've already been on two radio shows and said it in Vegas, blah, blah, blah. And I always still say the same. And
okay.
Sharon turns around and goes, well, he doesn't know what he's saying.
Well, I guess this is a situation where you're making an accusation which potentially. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying potentially could be wrong. So effectively, you're saying she's the alleged killer.
Put yourself into the book situation.
Yeah.
Imagine you being in that lying on the floor. You can't breathe, and then.
And the delay, yes, because
then you're
just
hanging around instead of calling the ambulance.
See, and that's the thing. So the reason why
it sounds like a movie.
It does, yeah.
It is very much a movie because.
But here's a question, and because going through the book, you have a lot of sources, and Nick, we'll come to you in a second because I want to talk about The Howling anyway. But Bryn, you have a lot of contacts in the book. Why is it that they're not picking up on the same sort of cues that you're picking up on to make a move towards
her? I've even named the people,
sure.
like Claire, but she didn't want to talk anymore.
Absolutely.
So, and I just put them at the bottom of I even say these douchebags that.
Okay, we'll watch the language, but okay.
Douchebags is a good word.
Oh, I guess it is a product, but okay, fair enough. Okay, you know what? I'm really enjoying the book. I'm halfway through it. I will cane through the rest, and I'll text you as soon as I either agree or disagree with your opinion in the
book. My book is very open ended. It says. Whether you believe the conclusion, but I'll give you all the conclusion. I believe that her mum is
is the prime suspect.
Mercy killing.
Okay.
And I think that her mum, it wasn't a killing like out of badness.
No,
and
of course.
I think she felt that her daughter was going, her daughter's career had gone right down the pan.
Sure.
And you know,
so I'll say if you want to read up
Los
more
Angeles
on it,
Los Angeles police already know what I've.
If you want to read up more, go and find the book. It's called A Case for Murder, Brittany Murphy Files. It's riveting. Go check it out. Nick Stead, you wrote a complete history of The Howling. Did you write that with Bryn?
Actually, it was Bryn's brainchild.
Okay,
and I just got brought in to contribute. A short story is the main thing I've done.
Oh, so okay. So Bryn created. You had the story for The Howling. Are you a Howling fan? Are you a horror fan?
Howling fan.
No, you're a Howling fan as opposed to a horror fan.
I like movies.
You like movies in general. Okay, so Nick, what is your contribution to the book?
So I've done a story arc. Bryn gave me the creative freedom to basically do what I wanted as long as it was based on one of the movies.
Okay.
So my favourite movie is the first one because I really like the werewolf design in that one.
That's the Joe Dante one, yeah.
Yeah, and I enjoy the story. So this story arc takes place just after the movie, about a week after where it ends. And without giving too much away, I tried to get the feel of the movie in it whilst like putting my own spin on it and hopefully giving both horror fans, werewolf fans, specifically Howling fans, something that they'll really enjoy.
How long has the book been out for?
It's not out.
It's not out yet, okay.
Well, we're literally, I put it back. It was originally out last year.
Okay.
But I held it back because I had Brittany Murphy coming out.
Sure.
And then this year, Dee Wallace really wants to work with us.
Oh, excellent.
Do you know who Dee Wallace is?
Absolutely. She's the star
of... What about yourself?
Dee Wallace is the star of The Howling.
Yeah.
No, what about your friend?
Laura, do you know who Dee Wallace is?
Yes, although I'm such a I'm a much worse speaker than you, so you'll have to
Have you ever watched Cujo?
Nice bullet dodged.
Have you ever watched Cujo?
Cujo, yeah, the Stephen King.
She's the woman that just literally screams in the car. So, and she actually hates anything that he's wrote.
Okay, yo, well, she hates the book.
She actually hates what he's wrote. She's never read. How do I call her?
While you're thinking of that, so she hates everything like that Nick has written.
Anything horror movie.
Oh, okay, fair enough. But she wants to work with you.
No. She likes what I'm doing because it's I'm celebrating what she's done.
Understood.
So the book which we're releasing is a celebration of the Howling series.
Oh, got it. Okay.
So, hello. But, however, we're very PC with what we're putting forward. Not the images in the book.
Sure.
Because, oh my God, for any horror fan, it's going to be, for anyone that likes Howling, are going to enjoy that. But however, anything the promotion wise, we're going to be very PC because
of course
she does not like.
She doesn't like the gore.
She's very, very delicate.
Okay, to be honest, that's actually not surprising because a lot of horror, it's known in the horror world. A lot of horror actors, like Robert Englund, for example, who's the actor Nightmare on Elm Street. Thank you. He's Freddy Krueger. A lot of actors who are or filmmakers in horror movies are actually quite the opposite of the characters they play, but hey, that's how it goes. Nick's Dead. That's the book you've written is the complete history of the Howling, and the go and check out as soon as that book comes out. We'll post it on the Facebook page. We'll talk about it a lot more. We'll try and promote it. We'll try and get you back in as well.
I do have my own werewolf series as well, the hybrid series.
Yes, because that was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. But what I'm going to do is because we need to move on from that. We will bring that up later on,
cool.
So we can talk about the Howling series. So you're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I am Marcus E. Acko,
and I'm Laura Sampson.
And in the studio with us, we have Bryn Kurt James Hammond, the author of A Case for Murder book series, and we have Nick Stead, who's the author of The Complete History of the Howling, as well as the Hybrid book series. We'll take a little break at the moment just to play some music. We've got a song from the soundtrack for Murder on the Orient Express.
Well, yeah, we're just gonna play the some of the opening music, the Wailing Wall.
You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I am Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
And in the studio with us, we have authors. We have Brian Kurt James Hammond, author of A Case for Murder book series. And we have Nick Stead, author of The Hybrid Werewolf series, as well as The Complete History of The Howling. We're going to move on to the next segment, which is the UK box office top five. Okay, so box office top five. We have number five, The Maze Runner, The Death Cure. I still haven't seen that yet. Have you seen that, Laura?
No, it's on my to-watch list, but there's been so much coming out in the last couple of weeks. I've been seeing films about three or four times a week, but this one has just always not quite made it. Yeah. It's one of those films that there are so few female characters in it that I just feel a little bit, my heart sinks slightly whenever I think about it.
I'll tell you what, let's do our best. Let's try and see it this week before the next episode. What about early, the number four, the, sorry, not the, Early Man?
I'm actually waiting for my nephews to be ready to see this. they promised me that they're going to give me some time in the next few days. Okay. But I don't really want to see it by myself.
Why?
So, because I think it'll be more fun with kids.
Fair enough. Okay.
You know, I can tell them all about Wallace and Gromit, and I can tell them about all the things that have gone before other Aardman animations.
Yeah.
It's really fun for me. Anyway.
Okay, yeah, of course.
Whether it'll be fun for them or not is...
So you prep them, you go to the cinema, and then you tell them, like, shh, now shut up, let me watch this. Fair enough. Number three, Darkest Hour. That's the Gary Oldman one. I said last week. I haven't seen it yet. But from all the reviews from what I've seen, I've heard, it's not going to be as. I'm planning on seeing it tomorrow night. So I'm going to see if my confirmation for it is going to be exactly what
Darkest
I think.
Darkest Hour. Yeah. A majestic acting from both Kristen Scott Thomas and Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
In the lead
characters. For it.
Not yet, no. We're not that big a show to be getting screeners. Although, if anybody wants to send us screeners, feel free to do so. Right now,
we're invited to them.
A screener we don't need a screener for Darkest Hour because
it's already out. Yeah,
and
but you know,
and it's still.
I'm just saying to get any freebie.
It's
I'm happy
pretty
to do.
Well. It's almost up to 20 million.
Yeah.
In the box office in this country as of the end of last weekend.
Okay.
So it's trucking along nicely, and I would definitely watch it again if I.
Did you like it, Laura?
I did. I thought the acting was majestic. I thought that the way that the story moved towards the ending was contrived is a good word.
Okay,
I'll use contrived.
Here's a question. Last week I made a prediction that Gary Oldman would take the Oscar for it, but the movie itself won't do that well in order to take the best picture.
I felt the same about Monster. With the
yeah,
the
and
best
but that worked.
Oscar
the,
for that
that but. Was exactly what happened. So if Charlize Theron got the Oscar, but the movie really didn't fare that much. It's pretty
what
much.
What do you think about Mother?
You mean the Jennifer Lawrence Mother movie?
Sorry, I've not saw it yet.
Okay,
but I being a Catholic.
Yeah.
Knowing what the story is.
Yeah.
And what it's been sold as, and knowing Hollywood, as I do, this is God's honest truth.
Sure.
I think, well, I don't really need to see it. What do you think?
I've seen it. I like it. It is edgy. It is different. It is off kilter. That's why I like
really?
It.
Really?
Yes. And here's the thing.
It did quite well in the...
I'm not
in
liking
the...
you now, straight away now.
It did quite well in the
You're not the first
films,
person to tell me that today, so it's fine.
How many babies do you want to be pulled apart? I've heard. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not really that
Spoiler
cool.
alert, but okay.
I just find it like, why do you need to go to that extent?
Sure.
And I just thought I'm really belittled by my writing. If you Google me, I am. A lot of people moan at me saying I'm a liberal.
Why?
Well, if you Google my name,
sure.
And they're rude. And what was the other one about? Apparently, I've got a chip in my brain.
Okay.
Like, I'm like...
But don't we all have
conspiracy theories?
Don't we all have a chip in our brain?
Yeah, bring it on. And so... if they knew what I was going to get up to after this, it's a nightmare.
Okay,
So you feel so you feel an affinity with Darren Aronofsky's experience over the last couple of months? Then there have been some quite unkind things said about that film.
Well, of course, that's the thing, right? I don't think he cares about it because Darren Aronofsky, from his previous output, he is determined to just throw everything he can into his project. He will do something. He doesn't really care what people think. And it's worked well for him in the past with Black Swan. That was also a very... Okay, so there we go. So we got approval for Black Swan. But obviously it didn't work for a lot of people, for Mother. I don't think that's going to stop him from doing anything. Before that, he did... what was the one with... not Fountain of Youth. The one with Hugh Jackman and Rachel Weisz. I think it's just called The Fountain, actually. It's called The Fountain, where it's three different stories with the three actors, or the two actors, following the same sort of path. That kind of had a critical panning as well, because it was weird and different. I loved that movie. I thought it was fantastic.
I think it's because it interjects today's society into his works, mm-hmm. and I think it either works or it doesn't.
Yeah, and that's the reason why I think that he won't. This won't make him bulk. I think his next project will probably be even weirder. But
I did like Black Swan. I thought that was probably out of Mother and Black Swan. Yep. I thought that was brilliant, and I hate her. I really think she's the most ugliest actress ever. Oh,
are we talking Jennifer Lawrence?
The one that jumps off, she talks all. She was in Star Trek and all that rubbish.
Okay.
She Black Swan. What's her name?
Which one?
She was in Black Swan.
No.
Natalie
thinking...
Portman. Oh,
she was
my
not in
God.
Star...
I
oh, okay,
really
fair
do
enough.
Not find her. God's honest truth. Okay. I think she's not really pretty, but I like what's his name's girlfriend. I think she looks
Mila
quite
Kunis?
Good. Yeah, okay. She's really good looking.
She's fantastic.
She's very good looking.
Okay.
She plays Dyke very good.
Just so we can wrap up this segment, number two and number one, Coco and Greatest Showman. Now, I do. The reason I'm wrapping this up is because I'm loving listening to Bryn, and we're getting a lot of love on Twitter for Bryn. Atomic Drop has basically said, bring this guy on the show every week. So you've already got a straight up request to come back on the show. So that's fantastic. Anyway, so you're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acker.
And I'm Laura Sampson.
With us in the studio, entertaining as ever, we have Bryn Curt James Hammond, author of a Case for Murder series. You've got Anna Nicole Smith, Brittany Murphy. You didn't let me get to the third one, which I was going to say, which was the one I'm looking forward to, Aaliyah. As an R&B fan, I grew up loving Aaliyah's music, and then she died, and then you're doing the third book on Aaliyah.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that story. I didn't know about her uncle being her manager. I always knew the R. Kelly side of things, where basically she got married to R. Kelly when she was 15. Yes. So that's basically the side of Aaliyah's story I knew about. Didn't anticipate you
I
coming up with
R. Kelly's brother.
Oh, okay.
A couple of not R. Kelly's brother, relative or whatever they call them, brothers from another mother or whatever. It's
a bit black people. That's okay. Sorry.
Hang on. I never said black people. Do not say that. What I said, because I didn't say that. He said he was a brother from blah, 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 and I was
sure.
just like, oh, whatever.
Okay.
So I was like trying to get just an interview. It was like the easiest thing in the world.
Okay.
And
so you interviewed him about Aaliyah.
Yes, I did. Okay. And well, it was very uncomfortable.
When is this book coming out?
Well, I pushed it back. Now, this will be the third time I've pushed it back, but it's coming out on the anniversary of her next death, which is this year in August.
Okay, fair enough.
So,
really looking forward to that one. When are you going to write about Biggie and Tupac?
Oh, God. I think...
Well, theirs were murders because they were actually gunned down. So I guess it doesn't fit the regular template of your stuff.
No.
Okay, fair enough.
No, with nothing to do with it, because they are still murders.
Yes.
But they're cute.
Whitney Houston?
Whitney Houston.
Too much has been written about her already. It's kind
yeah,
of
but
been
not
done,
that she
but...
was killed by Bobby Brown. And I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Bobby Brown, but I think, do you know the adopted son?
Okay.
Down in the water.
You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. We're going to jump to the next segment because we have fast run out of time. We do not have enough time to sit in with you. I want to get you back on the show, both of you. Nick, I'm really sorry we haven't talked about hybrid, but right. Obviously you've hung around with this guy, so you know that how long it is. Okay, so we're going to move on to the next segment, which is our top five favorite movies. So our top five for this week, considering the book series that we're talking about from Bryn is murder mystery, we figured we'd talk top 10 murder mystery movies. So we're going to go around the room. I would like each person to talk about. I know, Nick, you mentioned to me earlier today that you didn't really have much in this list because you're not a murder mystery fan.
Yeah, I had to look up movies just for this show.
So if it's okay, we're going to skip you, okay? If you don't mind. I'm sorry. I'm saying this. sorry. But we've got 10 minutes left to go.
Just plug my books and I'll be happy.
Okay, I will plug your book. That's what we'll do. When we finish, we'll talk about hybrid series, okay?
Cheers.
Okay, so Bryn, we'll start with you. I would like to know your number five and your number four choices for favorite murder mystery movies.
Well, number five would be Poison Ivy.
Oh yes, Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy.
That's Drew Barrymore, right?
Yeah. Yes, and then Niagara with Marilyn Monroe.
Two very good films. Niagara considered by some as her best. Critically, in terms of performance, not necessarily most well known, but in terms of her performance in that movie, it was pretty good.
I'm gonna drag
Nick
to go and watch the film.
Go and see Niagara, and then tell us if that's the longest walk in history. I still need to check that. Laura, what's your number five? What's your number four?
My number five is Gosford Park.
Gosford Park. Okay.
I really like country house murder mystery books. I've read a lot of Agatha Christie. I've quite enjoyed lots of those films, but this one it was sort of an Agatha Christie book movie on some kind of upper. It was written by Julian Fellowes, directed by Robert Altman, who's fairly famous for murder
for ensemble and ensemble
and,
movies.
And
yeah,
an amazing ensemble cast. Blink and you see the next super famous, beautiful person. Mm-hmm. And costumes, everything wonderful. Number four is The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. It's kind of... I almost had to flip a coin between the original Swedish version, which was...
Naomi Rapace, yeah?
Yep, a great vehicle for her. But also the David Fincher American remake, which I thought was really great as well. And I quite like Trent Reznor's soundtracks. I think... Yep. I
agree with you. I loved both. A lot of times people criticize American remakes of movies. That one in particular, people are going to have issues with it, but I liked it. I really liked it. I thought Rooney Mara was almost as perfect as Naomi Rapace in that role.
Well, the way she and Daniel Craig's character, their relationship developed was way better than the Swedish film, I think. There was kind of less... violent somehow.
I'm going to argue with you on that. I think it was...
You thought the other way was right, was better?
I think it was a slightly bit better.
I think being closer to the books, I think the Swedish version was a lot closer to the books than the American version, but I can't... You know what? I'll go with you on the fact that I loved both movies.
I'll be watching both of them again
to go and
tonight,
check it out. My number five is Brick. Ryan Johnson, his directorial debut, he wrote the movie as well, wrote the screenplay for it. It's stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Lucas Haas, and Emily de Raven. Those of you who are Lost fans would recognize her in that. It's a sort of a detective noir set in a high school, an American high school. I'd watched it a good few years when it came out, 2005, and I loved that movie so much. And I hadn't seen it since. And preparing for this show, I watched the trailer alone for the movie, just gave me so much goosebumps. I'm going to find that movie somehow and watch it again. Go and check it out. It's Brick by Ryan Johnson. My number four is LA Confidential, which is 1997, Curtis Henson,
James Elroy. James Elroy novel,
which I was thinking could potentially be my book adaptation, but I preferred Out of Sight in that regard, so I brought that on. This one has Russell Crowe, Guy Pearce, Kevin Spacey, Kim Basinger, Danny DeVito, James Cromwell. It's set in, I think, 1950s LA, and it's great. Just Rollo Tomasi. That's all I'd say about that movie. If you haven't seen it, go and check it out. LA Confidential. That's my number four. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko,
and I'm Laura Sampson
in the studio with us, talking top five favorite murder mystery movies is Bryn Kurt James Hammond, author of A Case for Murder, Brittany Murphy Files. We've also got Nick Stead, who's going to be talking about hybrid movies in a few minutes. His hybrid series. It's a werewolf. But we'll come back to that in a second. Bryn, can you tell us your number three and your number two of murder mystery movies?
Okay, Don't Bother to Knock and
Don't Bother to Knock. Is that a movie? I've never heard of that.
Marilyn Monroe and The Girl on the Train.
Oh, The Girl on the Train. That's the Emily Blunt one, right?
Yes. Oh, my God. I love that film.
Okay. I haven't seen that yet.
Right. I really hated it, and I'm going to be quite honest.
You do know this is top five favorite movies, right?
Yeah. I know.
Okay.
I really hated it originally, but then I really liked it. So I'm like, okay. Yay.
Fair enough.
Cool.
Okay. So, Laura, what's your number five? What's your number four? Laura's number five and number four.
Well, aptly, the lights just turned on and turned back off in the studio.
Oh, my God. I carried on. I actually had a heart attack.
My number three what lights? Is... my number three is The Big Sleep.
Oh, and nice choice.
I didn't choose it because of Bogart and Bacall, although I could have. I chose it because I love Raymond Chandler books, and there's a whole bit at the beginning of that film which is kind of a praise song to all of Raymond Chandler books, a scene in a bookshop.
I just feel so rude because I don't know anything of you, both of neither of what you've watched.
You don't worry.
We're going to share all of our choices on our Facebook page and on Twitter, and we're going to include links to everything so that everybody will be able to share all of our favourites.
And you
that's
know
one
what
of the things you, we love best.
You know what would help, Bryn? If you go onto our Facebook page, which is Shoot the Breeze at Resonance 104. Point, you have okay, fair enough. Then don't
and
worry
I followed
about
you.
it. Really?
You know okay. that? My management have always sent a photograph of
there'll
me.
There'll be full listings very shortly after the show.
Yes.
My number two is Seven.
That
would have been one of mine.
That would have been your. Yeah, you're a horror fan, so of course that's going to be on there.
I feel. I mean. Is a serial killer movie a whodunit?
It has a mystery to it. Yes.
Is a film noir a murderous mystery? Lots of horror films are murder mysteries as well, but I felt a bit funny choosing From Hell, for example, because I felt that was more.
I was going to choose From Hell as well, but I was like, I was really stuck for murder mystery.
See, here's the thing. Is there a murder? Yes. Is it a mystery? Yes. If you don't know who did the murder before. Before the end of the movie, it's a murder mystery. If the whole aim of the story is for that person to find the murderer, that is a murder mystery. So yes, both are eligible and both are awesome picks. My number three is Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, 2005, Shane Black movie starring Robert Downey Jr., Val Kilmer, and Bridget Monaghan. Now, I thought this was going to be Val Kilmer's comeback movie. It is amazing. The script alone. Shane Black is in my top five of best screenwriters because the dialogue just sizzles. It is. Just go and watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang if you haven't seen it. And Robbie Downey Jr. can do no wrong. My number two is Memento, Christopher Nolan. If you haven't seen it, go and check it out.
That was going to be one of mine as well.
Yeah. Are you just stealing our ideas?
He texted me the other day and he was like...
I did look him up.
He was going for a list of whodunit movies. And I was like, okay. And Seven, I've never watched it because I don't like... What's he called?
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt, because I think he looks like a monkey.
Kevin Spacey.
I'm sorry, what?
I think he looks like a monkey. Oh, so like,
you know what? We'll have to take this conversation offline because I want to hear what your number one is. What is your number one?
My number one is The In Crowd. I know, it's terrid.
It's been what, sorry?
The In Crowd.
Which one's The In Crowd?
It's a, well, gosh. There you go, now you threw me.
No.
It's the director, she's a female director. She directed Pet Sematary 1 and 2 by Stephen King, and it's an amazing movie.
Okay.
And it's a seduction film where literally the lead character bumps off the rest of the characters.
Don't tell the end of the story. Laura, what's your number one?
My number one is far more, I don't know, popular than that, I guess. And it's also named after me. Or maybe I'm named after it.
Samson?
It's Laura.
Oh, okay, fair.
But Otto Preminger film came out in 1994, a year after the original book was published. The book was by a woman called Vera Kaspari. And there are two reasons I love it. One is because it's, actually three. One I've already said. One's because Vincent Price is in it. And the final reason is that the first ever deal I did as a book agent was selling reissue rights to this because I loved the film, I loved the book so much, and I was just completely passionate about it.
Oh,
So yeah, it's basically all about me.
Fair enough. My number one is The Third Man. It's The Third Man. It's a Carol Reed movie. It stars Orson Welles, Joseph Cotten. It's an amazing film. Go and check out The Third Man. Anyway, we have run out of time. We have to wrap up. I want to thank Bryn for coming in today. I want to thank you, Nick. I'm going to get you back on so we can talk hybrids. Sorry.
That means I have to pay for train fare all the way again.
Don't worry. We'll try and figure something out. Next week, we have the director of Guardians, Mark A.C. Brown, coming in to talk the movie with the lead star coming in to talk about the Guardians. About not the Guardians, just Guardians. But for this week, thank you very much. You've been listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
I'm Laura Sampson.
Thank you for listening.
And see you next week.